this David man, I mean, he was someone, you know, didn't matter whether he was king and all that. He wasn't going to be, when he came around to praising the Lord, he wasn't going to act like a king and all that. He's going to pass down his throne, he's going to throw off his garments, he's going to leap and jump and dance and praise the Lord. Because the ark was coming home. Hallelujah. he danced off his, just danced, my goodness. And he couldn't care whether he was king. It didn't matter to him at all. Yeah, look, before the Lord, I'm not a king. He threw away the crown, threw away the kingly garments, and jumped in the street, dancing like a crazy person. Of which his wife looked out through the window and saw, and she had, you know, disdain for him in her heart that day. And when he came in the house, talked to him and said, how, you know, could you debase you like yourself like that in the street? You're the king, acting like a crazy person. And David answered and said, you haven't seen anything yet. You know, those women that you thought I made a fool of myself before them, they will honor me. But more so, I will praise the Lord because he chose me rather than your father's house. Therefore will I praise the Lord. And she, you know, he told it to her. And the Lord didn't like it at all, one bit. You know, that woman became barren because, you know, she dared, you know, to chastise someone that was praising the Lord. Don't you do it now. Let them alone when they want to praise the Lord. Let anyone praise the Lord anyhow they want. They want to leap, they want to dance, they want to jump through pews and all that stuff. You know, I've been to some places, I've seen people jump pews, you know, carry chairs, run around and stuff like that. Well, you know, whatever, you know, let's praise the Lord anyhow. Glory to God. Because if we don't, God might just command some stones to praise the Lord in our place. And I, you know, you wouldn't want that. I don't want any stone to take my place in praising the Lord. Would you? No. So, you know, let's praise the Lord. You know, and sometimes, you know, people get really passionate when it's time to pray for a family member. When I say big distress and tragedy in the making, people can really get a hold of the Lord. We know how to do that, you know. And but when the Lord turns the situation around, you know, then we become mellow, you know. Let's mellow out, you know. But when we are crying to the Lord, we cry with passion sometimes. Well, if we can only praise the Lord as passionately as when we are, you know, getting a hold of him for something that is critical, well, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it, for us to praise the Lord like that. You know, I love the story of Jehoshaphat, and we're going to just tell that again this morning. We've told it multiple times, you know, but, you know, in 2 Chronicles 20, not only did he praise the Lord before the battle, and that's the part that most people focus on, you know, but I want to focus on something else this morning. And you know the story very well, how he praised the Lord before the battle. In fact, as soon as he heard what the Lord said he would do for them, he appointed singers and worshipers that will praise the beauty of holiness, that will go in front of the army and say the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. And that in itself is a lesson to us, that you don't need to wait, and you shouldn't wait until you see the full victory before you praise the Lord. He was told, you know, they all heard it. The Spirit of the Lord, you know, came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah and the son of Benaiah, were told in the midst. And he said unto them, hearken ye, all Judah, and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them, behold, they come up by the cliff Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, neither be dismayed, for tomorrow the Lord will be with you. Go ye out against them. Isn't that powerful and beautiful? I mean, such encouragement, such assurance that, you know, the Lord, I mean, he said, you shall not need to fight. Well, but he fought anyhow, but a different kind of fight. Soon as he heard that, he said, well, I don't need to fight physical fight. Well, let me praise the Lord then. And that was his fight. And the praise became his greatest weapon, even at that time. And, you know, Jehoshaphat, he bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and all inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord, following the lead of Jehoshaphat. Isn't that wonderful? We can have a leader, a president or prime minister or someone that leading the nation that knows how to praise the Lord. Huh? Wouldn't the nation follow suit? But that's all we need in this country. You know, I don't know who they got, you know, if they know how to praise the Lord and if they give the glory and credit to God or not. But that's what we need. Praise the Lord. And this man worshipped. Everybody else fell down and worshipped. And all day long they worshipped because the Lord said tomorrow. And sometimes the Lord will say tomorrow because he gives you a chance today to worship. The Lord will tell you tomorrow you get the victory. So what do you do today? Today you worship. Hallelujah. Because he already said tomorrow you get the victory. And you don't need to wait. See, this is the problem. You know, the Lord promised us something. We'll wait until we actually see it before we began to praise the Lord. But not this man, Jehoshaphat. Oh, no. He learned a thing or two from his great grandfather, David. And he would, you know, he knew how to praise the Lord, you know. And so he got at everybody around and knew how to praise the Lord. Bible says when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers, he found out the best of them all, you know, those that should praise the beauty of holiness. And he put them out in front of the army and told them, go out and say, praise the Lord. You know, don't be afraid. The Lord said he will fight for you. So you go out, you know, and you praise the Lord. And he put all the skilled soldiers in the back. Well, you know, today, the praisers are going in front. My goodness. How do you put your praise before the battle? Well, he did. And that's how he got the victory. He went out, you know, and there were the children of Moab and Ammon and Mount Seir that came up against them. A tremendous multitude that overwhelmed them, even in the natural. But through praising the Lord, my goodness, they got the victory. The Bible says the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they finished doing that, then they faced and destroyed one another as well. The Lord said, ambushments against them. They didn't know what they were doing. They had illusion. You know, the Lord put an illusion and delusion upon them. You know, they thought they were fighting Israel, but they didn't know they were fighting, you know, themselves. And they destroyed themselves completely off the face of the earth. And all the whole time, you know, Judah and Jerusalem under the leadership of Jehoshaphat, the whole time they were just praising the Lord. You know, that's how powerful praises can be. You know, in the heat of the battle, if you can figure out how to praise the Lord, well, maybe you can get a victory like this man did. Hallelujah. And I mean, at the end of the day, it was exactly like the Lord had said, that you will not need to fight in this battle. But here is what he did after the battle. See, that's the one I want to focus on today. You know, and when Judah, you know, had come toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies everywhere. None of them escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people had considered the thing, they came and took away the spoil of them. They found among them abundance, both in riches, with the dead body and precious jewels, and they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days. They spent 3 days in gathering the spoil because it was so much. And then here's what they did. After all that victory and all that hollering and celebration and so forth. But what do you do then? And when the Lord gives you the victory. I mean, this man, he was a complete package, knowing what to do. He knew how to praise the Lord ahead of the battle. He knew how to praise the Lord during the battle. And then he even knew how to praise the Lord after the battle. Now, this is the after the battle part. And on the fourth day, 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 26, after they had spent 3 days gathering the spoil, on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord. You know, they blessed the Lord. They returned and they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the place was called the valley of Berakah unto this day. And they returned, every man, you know, they blessed the Lord. They rejoiced and they praised the name of the Lord. And they came with psalteries and harps and, you know, and trumpets unto the house of the Lord and so forth. And they praised the Lord, you know, who had given them rest, you know, and giving them victory over their enemies. Now, that's how you do it. You praise the Lord before, you praise the Lord during, and you praise the Lord after the battle. Amen. That's how this man did it. And he come over there, you know, after all of that victory. You know, most of the time people don't remember, you know, after a great victory, we celebrate, we shout victory and so forth like that. But we forget, you know, to come back like this man did. You know, he went through his wilderness, you know, of Tekoa is where they had the battle. But now he come into the valley of Berakah. And gave praise to the Lord. You know, so, you know, let's remember that. When we are going through, let's know how to praise the Lord. You know, and even after he brings us out of it, let's know how to praise the Lord. In other words, praise the Lord all the time. Praise the Lord ahead of the battle. Praise the Lord during the battle. Praise the Lord after the battle. According to Revelation 12 and 11, the Bible says that the people that got the victory over the devil, well, there were some things they used as part of their weapons. You know, the blood of the Lamb, of course, we know that. But we also know that, you know, they had the word of their testimony. Ha! Glory to God. In other words, they praised the Lord before the battle. They used their testimony to get themselves the victory. You know, it was something they used. This is how they overcame the devil. They were able to testify of the victory even before the victory. And I've said it oftentimes in this room that look, don't wait until it's all said and done and all over. You've analyzed the situation, you've considered the matter and so forth. Then you come and praise the Lord. Well, that's good. You should do that too. But if you have some real faith, like Jehoshaphat did, when he heard the word of promise, you can begin to praise the Lord. Even before you see the real victory, hallelujah, you can give your testimony and it can become a powerful weapon. You know how to do it. Even before the victory is settled, you can give your testimony ahead of time. Some people will say, well, you know, I'm going to tell you about it, but, you know, I'm going to wait until it's all done. Well, that's good, too. So, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit can direct you to do that. But again, sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit can direct you to give your testimony. Hallelujah. You know, and use it as a weapon, you know, to finish off the devil. Praise the Lord. And, you know, there was a man in the Bible, and I love this man. You know, his posture was one that, look, I don't care what the devil going to throw at me. You know, and I gave people to read and to memorize that Isaiah 50 and verse 7 verse, you know, some months ago. I mean, this man said, look, it doesn't matter. You know, I know the Lord's going to help me. You know, the Lord hasn't helped him yet, but he's saying, I know that the Lord will help me. And he's putting it out there as a testimony even before he gets the help. I know that the Lord God will help me. Hallelujah. Because the Lord told him. In Isaiah 41 and verse 10, the Lord said, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And he knew it. And so he come out here in chapter 50 or verse 7 and say, I know that the Lord God will help me. Well, do you know it? Are you convinced? Are you assured of the fact? Are you persuaded that the Lord is going to help you? And if you know it, then what's going to be your posture? Well, this man said, well, you know, because I know he's going to help me, I know I will not be confounded, and I'm going to set my face like a flint. Well, I'm going to put my game face on. Going into the battle, going into the situation, I have determined within myself that I will be undaunted. I'm not going to let, devil, whatever he throws at me, it's not going to make a difference because our Lord will help me. And he said that before, the situation. I mean, can you say that for yourself today, that I know the Lord God will help me, and therefore I will not be ashamed? Praise God. Now, these are people that put their testimony out there before it even happened. You notice the tense he's using there in the grammar. I will not be ashamed. The Lord will help me. Therefore, I have set my face like a, he took a position right now because he knew what the Lord's going to do. And so we can praise the beauty of holiness before we actually see the end result. Hallelujah. And it's a great thing. The people that are praising the Lord, it's a great thing when we're praising the Lord. Great victories can be obtained by praising the Lord, And sometimes when your prayer alone can't do it, you got to kick it into gear. High gear, turbo boost your prayers, with praising the Lord. In the book of Acts chapter 16, we're told that Paul and Silas were put into prison. But at midnight, they prayed and sang praises unto the Lord. And all the prisoners heard them. They were not doing it in the corner somewhere or, quietly in their mind. But they were praising the Lord. Everybody heard it. And it's like, shut up over there. But they praised the Lord because, they were even happy to be counted worthy to suffer for the name of the Lord. And they're just praising the Lord right there in the prison. They could have been bitter. They could have been, whatever. But they were not. They're just thanking the Lord and praising the Lord and just shouting the beauty of God's greatness. And the next thing you know, the Holy Ghost, he came out there, the angel of the Lord, broke those bars of prison. That's right. You can do it too. Hallelujah. That's what your praise can do. Praise is a powerful weapon. It can be something, like that can really, really, really blow the devil away completely. Praise the Lord. So we ought to praise the Lord. And more so, not just because we want the praise to be a weapon. No. That's good to know that. But more importantly, because that's what we were created to do, is to praise the Lord. And so, we ought to just do it for that, not because, when we do it, he's going to do something for us. We know he will do something for us, but even if he doesn't do anything for us, he already done too much. Praise the Lord. And that's why, that's what we ought to do. We ought to just praise the Lord. Listen to this, in the book of Revelation chapter 4. And when, it said the four beasts had six wings and all of that before them. They rest not day and night, that's verse 8 of Revelation 4, crying, holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty. They were always there. And he said, which was and witches and witches to come. And when they give glory to God like that, that said, to him that sat on the throne and liveth forever and ever, then the 24 elders, they also fell down and sat on, before him that sat on the throne. And they worship him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns. Hallelujah. And they said, look, they just threw their crowns down. In his presence, you can't wear any crowns unless he's the one that put it on your head. and God will put some crowns on people's head. But,
you know, in his presence, you have any crowns, you come there, you throw that crown down, you know, because, you know, your crown is nothing before him. And all our achievements, our accolades, or anything that we are or ever hope to be, it's all because of him. And they said, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure, they are and were created. So we are created for his pleasure. And we ought to praise the Lord. You know, and you show me someone who doesn't know how to praise the Lord, and I'll show you someone who's not going to be around the throne of David. Because when you're around the throne of David, David will make sure. That's one of the reasons God chose his throne to set upon. Because the Lord knows that David is going to make sure that everybody praise the Lord. You know, so you better get some practice now. You might not be around that throne. You know, the praise is the center of everything, you know, and worship is the highest form of praise. And that's why God is looking for, and you know, again, to be clear, we're not defining praise and worship as fast and slow music, because that's how people think, oh yeah, you know, praise is when you sing fast music. Worship is when you sing slow music. Well, that's part of it, but it's a lot more than that. Praise is when you are, you know, giving glory to God, you know, just praising him. That, like David used to do, to say, look, you know, the Lord is my this, the Lord is my that. I mean, just praise him for who he, you know, I mean, what he's done, who he is, and so on and so forth. I mean, worship is just the highest form of that. In our hearts, we're worshiping him for who he is, not because of what he did and not didn't do. You know, so you know, most of the time we praise him and so forth for what he did. You know, we're worshiping him because of who he is. You know, we see his attributes of holiness and we just worship him. We're just in awe of him. You know, and we can put a lifetime, a pattern together, a way of life, worship and praise. My goodness, that's the place where we're going to find the Spirit of the Lord moving even more so. You know, so let us learn to praise the Lord. And scripture also commands us to be thankful. You know, let us learn to be thankful to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's be thankful, you know. Whatever it is that the Lord has done for us, let's be thankful. Come into his presence. Enter this way into his courts with thanks, you know. And when we count our blessings, you sit down sometimes and just count the things that the Lord has done. And, that's the way, you know, that we praise the Lord. We praise him, you know, for all that he has done. We give him glory and so forth. You know, but again, we order our lives, our hearts, our everything about us, you know, to be about praising the Lord. You know, sacrifices of praise is better than sacrifice for sin. There's a new generation of priesthood that the Lord is calling. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, we're told that he has made us a new generation of priests. Not after the old order, you know, those priests in the olden days, all they had to do, come out there all the time and offer sacrifice for sin. Well, Jesus, you know, has elevated that. You know, so right now, the kind of priestship, or priesthood rather, that we are in, is not, you know, coming and offering sin and confessing sin and all that stuff. You know, it's more about praising the Lord. But Jesus had dealt with that nature of sin. And now he says, you are a chosen generation. 1 Peter 2 and 9. You are a royal priesthood and holy nation. You are a peculiar people even, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. That's what we do now, is praising the Lord. That's the kind of priesthood that we are. We're called to do that. Praise the Lord. Praise the beauty of holiness. Because, you know, in the time past, we were not a people, but now we have obtained, I mean, God has made us a people, and we have obtained mercy, hallelujah, which we didn't have before. Now we have obtained mercy from the Lord. So we ought to praise the beauty of holiness. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noonday. Praise him when the sun goes down. Praise him all the day long. Hallelujah. And in our hearts, we have that attitude of praise no matter what's going on. You know, no matter what confronts you, you will win if you know how to praise the Lord. So let's do more of praising the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. Neil Frisby wrote this article, called it Scroll Number 70. Some of you are familiar with it. He said, this is a dynamic subject of praise. It is the rewarder of youth. It is the secret place of thunder wherein the Lord answers back. You'll find that in Psalm 81 and verse 7. It says, you know, I will answer you in the secret place of thunder while you're yet speaking. You know, even when the word is in your mouth, the Lord will answer you because you know how to praise the Lord. By praising him, you will receive honey out of the rock, satisfying your soul, giving you a healthy body. And these are the benefits and power and the awesomeness of praise. This is what it can do for you. Praise will drive out infirm spirits and loosen the bones. Heart trouble will not overcome you. And if you should have it through praises, it will leave you. Praising the Lord continually will make your heart happy. And your body will be joyful in health. Your eyes will sparkle and your vision will be plainer. You know, by eating lightly, so you got to eat lightly too. I mean, don't overstuff yourself. The holiday seasons are upon us. People have a tendency to overeating around Thanksgiving, Christmas, and all that stuff. You know, Jesus warned us about that. He said, look, you know, I mean, it would be a tragedy if people were to miss the day of their visitation or to miss the coming of the Lord because of food, you know, or their attitude towards food. Jesus said it. He said, look, be careful now. Take heed lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness, and that day come upon you unawares. You know, now, by eating lightly and praising the Lord will intensify all these blessings even more. Also, the dullness of ears will hear sharply. I mean, if you don't hear too well, you know, your ears, you are told here, this is a spirit of praise that wrote this. You might call it a psalm. You know, wrote this thing here, you know. You know, if you know how to praise the Lord will, you know, sharpen even your hearing. Praise the Lord. He said, look, you know, even your complexion, when you get time to praise, your hair, your lips, all of these things will take on a beautiful glow. You know, I mean, we know that people use, you know, these things to make their body look better and everything, but praise will outdo them all. You know, praising the Lord at intervals will drive all demon powers back from you and give you confidence to rest. You know, by praising him often, you will be covered with a bright Shekinah glory. Whether you can see it all the time or not, you begin to feel it by the glory of his presence. And devils and demons cannot break through that covering very easily as long as you praise him in confidence. Praising renews the youth. It renews our strength. It increases our faith sometimes and allows the Holy Spirit to speak. Praise exalts the Most High and allows his Spirit to flow through us, providing a ministry for each of us according as his Spirit wills it in our own life. You know, praise the Lord. And on and on and on. Beautiful writing. Some of you are familiar with it. We'll share it later. You know, the powers of praise, you know, what it can do for us. But more so, you know, there are many blessings in praise because that's what we were commanded, is to praise the Lord. You know, the Lord wants us to praise him. So let's do a little more of that today.
in praising the Lord. And not only, you know, when we come together like this or when you go to the church services, but an attitude of praise in our lives. We can conduct our spiritual walk, you know, with praise. It'll be a marvelous thing, you know, always praising the Lord. And, you know, the Lord, we're told, you know, inhabits the praises of his people. So, you know, that means he will be around you when you are praising the Lord, because he wants, you know, Psalm 65 says, praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion. You know, so if you are someone that is praising the Lord, or you're a group that's praising the Lord's not going to be far from it, because he wants that praise. So he's going to come close. Praise God. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Hallelujah. According to Psalm 22 and verse 3. You know, what does that mean? Well, praise is his habitation. You know, if your life is full of praise, you will always attract him. Praise God. And he'll be right there. Hallelujah. Well, let's learn to do and praise him even more. You know, will you praise the Lord on here this morning? Can you go away from here with a spirit of praise? Can you order your day with praise and worship? That's right. You know, and let's be intentional with our prayers. You know, it shouldn't always be. I mean, if you analyze your prayer time, how much of it is spent in worship and praise? You know, and if the majority of our prayer time is spent in asking for this and asking for that, well, that needs a revision. We need to revise that. Let's spend more time in praising the Lord, because, you know, that's the reason that we were created. The things that we ask for, those are secondary. And Jesus already said, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. You know, but let's spend our time in praising the beauty of holiness. You know, and let's praise him with a life that glorifies him too. You know, that's a way of life, worship, when your life glorifies the Lord. Otherwise, the Lord said, these people praise me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know, when our heart is against the word of God, and yet we say we're praising the Lord, well, that doesn't work. You know, so we order our lives in accordance with what pleases the Lord. And then our praise is even much more effective. Praise the Lord. So I want us to praise the Lord some more this morning. And if you have a psalm that you would like to read, if you have a praise testimony that you would like to give, if you have a song that you'd like to share to praise the Lord, let's do that. Just a brief exhortation to praise, an exhortation to worship. Come and let us praise the Lord. Come and let us worship the Lord. You know, even the psalmist, he wrote things like that. And this is an aspect also that people have forgotten. And the psalmist wrote about it in his psalms. He said, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. You know, sometimes we've forgotten to do that. You know, we can't even, you know, bow down before the Lord anymore. Can't even bow our knees anymore. You know, but in Psalm 95, he talks about it in verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Let us worship the Lord today. I'm going to invite you to give a shout out to the Lord. Give some praise or song or psalm or what have you today. Let's do it together. God bless you in Jesus' name.